Hey man, good to be in the Lord's house, but let me just say this, allergies suck. Man, bad, right? Praise God for the rain this morning. That's one reason we can praise God for the rain, because with rain is relief from allergies. Never had allergies growing up, never had allergies down south, never had allergies up north until this year. Something about the dandelions, Chrissy said. You know, the little ones, not the yellow ones, but the little ones that you blow and they go everywhere and they create more pollen agents to cause us to sneeze and to be stuffy and all that garbage. But praise God that he's given us medicines. And is it true that local honey works? Is that true? It does, right? And you got to do it before, right? You just can't take and expect. Yeah, that's my problem. Anyway, praise God for the rain this morning. Thank you for being in the Lord's house this morning. I hope you have come prepared to learn and to hear the word of God. That's why we're here this morning. That's why we gather to bring honor and praise to God, and also to learn more about who he is and how he does what he does, so that we can experience him each and every day. I believe that everything in life is spiritual. Everything in life, whether it's a problem, a person, a situation, a circumstance, a natural issue, a physical issue, it doesn't matter what it is, I believe it could always be broken down to something spiritual. And if you look in John chapter 21 this morning, I want to just start off by reading, because we're going to be looking at a lot of verses this morning, but I want to read from the book of John. We're also going to look at the book of Matthew, because both of these stories are found in multiple gospels. And just for the sake of getting everything that we can, we're going to be looking at John 21. And also, if you want to go ahead and just get yourself ready, Matthew chapter 26. So we're looking at John 21. And then we're going to flip over after that to Matthew 26. But let's go ahead and begin in the book of John, beginning in verse 1. And I'm going to try to read not so quickly. But we're going to go ahead and move all the way down to verse 19. So listen to what the Bible says. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. And in this way, he showed himself. Simon Peter, Thomas, called the twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, which are James and John, and two others of the disciples were with them together. Simon Peter said to them, I'm going fishing. Then they said to him, we are going fishing with you also. Some southern boys right here. And they went out and immediately got into the boat, and that night they caught nothing. But when the morning had now come, Jesus stood on the shore, yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. And Jesus said to them, children, have you any food? And they answered him, no. And he said to them, cast the net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some food. And so they cast, and now that they were able to draw in it because of the multiples of fish, therefore that the disciples whom Jesus loved, Jesus' love said to Peter, it is the Lord. Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his outer garment, for he had removed it, and plunged into the sea. He just dives right into the sea, and he's going after Jesus. But the other disciples came in the boat, for they were not afar from land, but about 200 cubits, dragging the net with fish. Then as soon as they come to the land, they saw a fire of coals there, and fish laid upon it, and bread. Jesus is finna make some fish tacos for breakfast. Verse 10, Jesus said to them, bring some of the fish which you have caught. Verse 11, Simon Peter went up and dragged the net to the land full of large fish, 153. And altogether there were many, so that the net was not broken. Jesus said to them, come and eat breakfast. Yet none of the disciples dared to ask him, who are you? Knowing that it was the Lord. And then Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to them, and likewise the fish. And this is now the third time Jesus showed himself to the disciples after what? He was raised from the dead. Third time he is showing himself after he is crucified, buried, and rose again. So in verse 15, so when they had eaten breakfast, Jesus had said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Judah, do you love me more than these? And he said to him, yes, Lord, you know I love you. And so Jesus replies to him, what? Feed my lambs. And he said to him again a second time, Simon Jonah, or son of Jonah, do you love me? And he said to him, yes, Lord, you know I love you. And he said to him, tend to my sheep. Verse 17, then he said to him the third time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? And this is, you know, Jesus speaking again the third time, and Peter was grieved at this point and said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." And Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep. Most assuredly, I say to you, when you were younger, you girded yourself and you walked where you wished. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hand, and the other will gird you and carry you where you do not wish." This he spoke, signifying by what death he spoke would glorify God. And he had spoken this, and he said to him, "Follow me." Father God, I pray this morning as we look into your word that you would help us to be reminded that God, you are in the interest of us. You are looking out for us, God. You have desire for us. You have purpose for us, just like you did here in the passages that we've read. I pray that you would open up our hearts, that you would allow us to see the things that you would have us to see this morning from the pages of your word. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Jesus is revealed in the verses that we just read today as a friend of sinners. Amen. This is the side of Jesus that we have to become familiar with as children of God, as the church of God. We have to understand who Jesus is, what he's all about, and what that means for us. Because here's the situation, church. When you look at us, every one of us here today are fallen. Every one of us today are in sin. Every one of us today are broken, and we are in need of some sort of fixing. And while the focus of this chapter is on Jesus, I think that we need to also note that there is also a major emphasis placed on the interaction between Jesus and who? Peter. And so we're going to look at Peter here this morning. And Dave and I were talking this past week about Peter, and I was telling him a little bit about what God had put on my heart this week about the sermon, and he reminded me that Peter was the kind of guy who always had his foot in his mouth, right? And so I began to relate and understand exactly what Peter was about because I feel like I, the same way, am all the time caught with my foot in my mouth and doing what, you know, you think you need to do for Christ and for his glory, and sometimes you just mess up, amen? Am I alone here this morning? Amen. All right. So maybe today, you know, we're here, and there's certain things in our life that seem to have fallen by the wayside. Things were looking good at one point, but now we tend to see things kind of going downhill. And maybe, you know, it's your one-on-one relationship with God. You know, maybe it used to be something that was powerful and influential, and things have changed. And maybe it's your relationship with other members of the body. Maybe it's your relationship with your husband, your wife. Maybe it's your relationship with your friends, your siblings, whoever it may be. But whatever it is that you're experiencing here this morning, you feel like your love has fallen away in reference to what it should be. This morning, wherever you are, we must understand that Jesus is there to help us, even if we feel like we have fallen down and we have messed up. And so, you know, even though we've fallen, I think it's very important to note that Jesus still wants to be our friend. He still wants to incorporate us in his purpose. He still wants to use us in spite of us. And we've got to get that here this morning, or else we're never going to be influential to people around us based on who we are. It's not about us. It's all about him. Number one, we see from the text Peter's failure. And I want to go ahead and just quickly turn over to Matthew and look at Matthew's account of this. Matthew chapter 26. Just turn there real quick. I told you I had my place, and I can never find it. There it is. Matthew chapter 26, and we're going to be looking at verses 69 through 75. And I want to read these verses so that we can see exactly what's going on here in the life of Peter and in reference to his failure, if I can find 69. Here we go. And the Bible says this. Now Peter sat outside in the courtyard, and a servant girl came to him saying, "You're the one who was with Jesus of Galilee." And notice what Peter did in verse 70. He denied it before them all, before the entire group, saying, "I don't know what you're talking about. I don't know what you're saying." Verse 71, and when he had gone out to the gateway, another girl saw him and said to him, "Who are you?" He said to him, to those who were there, "This fellow, this man also was with Jesus of Nazareth." So it's the second time somebody recognized who Peter was. But notice Peter's response in verse 72. Again, he denied with an oath this time that he did not know the man. Verse 73, and a little later, those who stood by came up and said to Peter, surely you are also one of them from your speech, because it betrays you. We know you're one of them by the way you talk and what you're about. Then he began to curse. Now this is God's man right here, right? God's called man. Peter was a preacher of the gospel. He was the man of God. And notice he fell. Very important to take note here, church. When we begin to place our emphasis on a man, even if it is a man of God, and we put that emphasis, and we place that emphasis, and we put that more important than God himself, friend, we will be let down, and we will experience something that's going to hurt. And so notice, where was I? What verse did I stop on? I'm sorry, ADHD. 74, then he began to curse, we said that, and swear, and saying, I don't know this man. And immediately, what happened? The rooster, we would roast that rooster, yeah. And he crowed. And so Peter remembered, what? The word of Jesus, who had said to him, before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times. And so he went off and noticed that he wept bitterly. Before we can see how Jesus restored Peter, who, remember, was a preacher. And even as a preacher, we see that Peter is identified with a certain group, and that is the fallen group. The ones who have made mistakes, the ones who have messed up, the ones who had the right motive, but somewhere along the line got something messed up. Yes, your preacher can make mistakes. Yes, your pastor can make mistakes. Yes, the staff can make mistakes. Preachers aren't perfect. Staff isn't perfect. Men of God, from time to time, will fall. Amen. That's true. And why is this true? Because they're human. They're not Jesus Christ incarnate. They're not God. They are people that are flawed from their sin. Why did Peter fall? How did Peter fall? But let's look at the place of it. Peter was just in the wrong place at the wrong time. Have you ever been in the wrong place at the wrong time? You don't know it at the time, but you kind of figure it out afterwards, right? In the beginning, Peter had made this boast that he would never, ever, ever, according to Luke chapter 22, verses 33 and 34, and you can check me on that he would never deny Jesus Christ. He was for Jesus. He was the same guy who cut the Roman guard's ear off when they came to take Jesus, right? I like that. I will cut somebody's ear off. No, I won't. Because I might, you know, but here's the thing, man. His heart was in the right place. His motive was in the right place, but Peter failed to realize that he wasn't God. He wasn't Christ. He was just a mere human. And when the time came for Jesus to be arrested, Peter, just like many of others, forsook Jesus and ran away, according to Matthew chapter 26, verse 56. At one moment, he's chopping a guy's ear off, saying, I'm with you, God. And the next minute, he's tucked tail, and he's running for his life because he's afraid. Now, if you'll notice in verse 58, the Bible tells us that Peter decided to follow Jesus in order to see what was going to happen to him, right? He had already been taken away, and so he's following along, and he wants to see exactly what's going to happen to Jesus. And notice the Bible says that he is following along specifically from a far off. Did you see that? He is following along, but he's following Jesus from far off or afar off. And now remember, Peter's the one, again, who's all about Jesus a couple days before this or a couple hours before this at the garden when they're in Gethsemane and the Roman soldiers come to get Jesus. Peter's all about it. But after they get Jesus, something changes. Something happens. At one point, he's on the side of standing up for God. And in verse 58, he's no longer up close and personal with Jesus. He's not following along close with him. He's scared, and now he's allowed his fears to cause him to be far away from his Lord. How many times do we in life get so frustrated with the things that we experience, which we have no control over, and we allow those things to distance us from our God? I think we can all relate to Peter right here. We allow feelings that are natural to get into the way of that which is spiritual. And before you know it, the things that we said we would never do, we do. And then we're wondering, you know, what happened? And so, you know, Peter failed, man. And we have to remember that. We have to understand that, because if we don't get this here, you're going to begin to put emphasis on people. And when they fall short in filling you the way that God can fill you, you're going to be looking around like, what the heck just happened? He proceeds, Peter, to deny Jesus, even though he knows Jesus is right. In verse 69, he doesn't do it once, he doesn't do it twice, but he does it three times, which was, again, Jesus prophesied that, did he? Did he not? He told Peter he was going to do that before he did it, so that was prophecy from Jesus. He was foretelling something that would happen before it happened. And essentially what Peter did was he took some steps back, right? From where he was to where we find him now in the story in our text. He literally has taken some steps back away from Jesus physically, we saw that, but also spiritually. Notice that he is found in a backslidden condition or a backslidden state. Something had changed and Peter wasn't who he used to be. I can't help but to identify with Peter sometimes, and I believe that if we're all honest here this morning in the house of God, that we can agree that we all identify with Peter and his fallen condition. There's times when we aren't doing what we're supposed to be doing. There's times when we could do more than what we are doing. And what does it mean to be backslidden? Just that. Instead of staying close to God as we should continually, we begin to follow God, from afar off, just like Peter did. Maybe it's just starts with your prayer life. You know, you used to have a dynamic prayer life and you used to wake up and communicate to God and you would talk to him all day long and things have changed. Things have kind of went backwards. You've taken some steps away from your prayer life and you can feel it now. Maybe it's your personal Bible time. Maybe you used to be excited to get into the Word and to allow God to speak to you, but something has happened along the way and Bible is not priority to you anymore. TV is more important. Coffee's more important. I take the coffee, then I take the Bible, Lord. That's what I do. I'm sorry, I got to. But we all get there. We all do that, amen? Wherever and however it begins, it eventually leads us to the same place. Empty, fallen, in need of help. And it will eventually lead you to a backslidden condition, which will in turn create a cold heart in you. Peter's problem was found, or it was that he found himself in the wrong place at the wrong time. Now, some of us today are finding ourselves in the wrong place at the wrong time, where one time you were in the right place with God, close to him in fellowship. Something has happened along the way that caused your faith to fail, to cause you to fall backwards in your faith. Being in the wrong place in the wrong time sometimes is dangerous, amen? It is. Just ask David and his encounter with Bathsheba. He was in the wrong place at the wrong time, and his eyes began to cause him to be tempted, and then temptation led into sin, and sin led to death. And we know the story of David and Bathsheba, so we understand that when we are straying away from God, when we are falling back from God, we're going to experience extreme pain. Notice the pain of it. When Peter denied the Lord that night, the Bible says that he went out and he did what? He wept bitterly. He was emotionally distraught by what he had done. And that's a good thing, by the way. It shows that he had conviction. It shows that he had the Spirit of God living in him. Peter was miserable in the condition that he was experiencing now. He knew that something had happened, something had changed, that he had wronged Jesus, and he knew that he had messed up in denying God in front of other people. And now Peter finds himself what? Miserable. It happens every time, friend. What applies to Peter applies to us. So it is with every child of God who decides to walk away from God's will and purpose for their life. Sooner or later, friend, listen to me, you will realize that your sin brings pain, suffering, and misery with it. Proverbs 13, verse 15 says, good understanding gains favor, but the way of the unfaithful is hard. Very hard. Where once the peace of God reigned strong in your heart and in Peter's heart, you find yourself falling away from that peace now, empty, longing for more. Our sin, make no mistake about it, child of God, is a thief and it is a robber towards the things of God. Did you hear me? If you want to experience the things of God, then we have to understand what sin does.
It hinders us. It stifles God. That's why it needs to be dealt with, and it needs to be dealt with immediately, quickly. That's why the Holy Spirit's job is to convict us in these situations and through these situations. Sin, if not dealt with, has the ability to make you into a very miserable person. And guess what? People can tell. Preach it to the choir. People can tell. Yes, you, child of God, who's been a Christian for 45 years, people can tell when you're not close to God. There was pain, but there was also a price for that pain. After Peter sinned, he felt a definite loss of fellowship, and we can see it through his emotional distress. There was no peace. There was no joy. He knew that things were different, and I'm speaking primarily to those who claim to know Jesus this morning, okay? I'm not talking to you if you don't know Christ, because I can't help you. But what we need to know, those of us who have relationship with Christ, is we need to know when to decide to walk, when we start walking that different way, when we start following God from afar off, we need to take note when that happens. We need to listen to the conviction of the Holy Spirit. Now, child of God, I will say this, and I believe this, and the Bible teaches this, you can never lose your salvation. I don't care what you do, what you don't do. If you have genuinely accepted Jesus as your personal Savior, you believe that He is the one that covers your sin, there is nothing that can take away your salvation. You are saved eternally, forever, and that's just the way that God says. But there's something that we need to understand about salvation. Salvation is one thing, and where you can never lose your salvation, that is very true. But there will be times in our life when we stray away from God, and there will be times in our life when we feel that loss of peace, joy, and contentment. There will be times when we lose out on God's blessings and His rewards all because of our sin and our unwillingness to recognize that sin and to do something about that sin. Sin is the cruel taskmaster, if you will, that will beat you silly. You're not stronger than sin in and amongst yourself. It will whoop your tail every time. You're not stronger than Satan, even though some of us think we are. He is a real entity, and he is against us. And so we have to understand sin, again, affects us, and we've got to do something about it. So Peter failed, and he failed big. Why? Because of his sin. Number two, notice Peter's foolishness revealed in verse 3 of our original text through his choices. After the resurrection, Peter must have, you know, probably after Jesus dies, he probably assumes that, you know, his ministry is over now. You know, Jesus is now gone. And so everything that he was about, you know, and we were about, it's no longer because he's not here. And so what he does is, you know, he had denied the Lord, and so he decides to return, basically, in denying Jesus, he's deciding to go back to his old way of life. Remember what he used to do? He was a fisherman. We see that right here. You know, and I'm sure, you know, he probably tried to justify it, like most of us do. You know, well, if I had the support of my family, or if I had this from this person or that from this person, then maybe I wouldn't have gotten into the situation that I'm in. Whatever the motivation, Peter had been called to forsake everything when Jesus called him on the seashores of Galilee in Matthew chapter 4, verse 19. From the very start, when Jesus called him, that was his calling. And nothing was going to thwart that until either he left or Jesus came back. And so what we have to understand is God called him from a fisher to a fisher of men. And he was a minister of the gospel, and he was God's man. And even though he was a minister of the gospel and he was God's man, he made foolish mistakes. He made foolish decisions. And don't all of us from time to time do the exact same thing that Peter does? We better acknowledge this. We bet, myself included, we mess up. When we're far away from God, we make poor choices. When we're far away from God's people, we tend to start making poor choices. That's the importance of staying connected, amen? Listen, Satan knows this, and he uses it to our disadvantage. When we are trying to be with Jesus from afar off, we are more prone to rely on our flesh and that which is natural more than we are that which is spiritual and God's power. There may be some here this morning who have started to go backwards in your journey with Jesus, and maybe even in your journey with this church. You feel like you started off strong, but something's happening. And you feel like you're tending to move backwards. And I would just say, you know, praise God you realize that. And you could do something about it. Notice Peter's consequences also. We saw his choices, but notice the consequences of his choices. Peter finished all night long, and he was trying to fish. He was an experienced fisherman. He knew what he was doing. He knew which type of bait to use. He knew which time to fish. He knew everything because this was his trade. He worked all night long, the Bible says, and he got nothing. Nothing. Jesus said, fish for men. Here he is fishing for fish, or fishing for profit, or fishing for the material. They're doing what they're doing, but the problem is they're doing it in their own power. Remember, they're still far off from Jesus. Him and this group of disciples, they were kind of sticking together, but they were all far off from Jesus, and so they're doing what they're called to do, but they're doing it in their own power. This is just the way it works for those who are in sin. No matter what they try to accomplish in their own strength, it always fails. The prodigal son. Let's go back to him again. He tried to take his inheritance, everything that belonged to him, and go do life on his own. Got away from the father, got away from the father's house, and everything went well, right? No. The prodigal son found this out as he sat in the midst of a pig pen, watching pigs eat what he wished he could eat. He was starving, and he was tempted to eat pig food. That's how hungry he was. That's how desperate he was. And he's sitting in the midst of this pig pen, and he's probably realizing that I'm a failure. I've made some foolish decisions. I deserve to be here. I would like to remind every one of us in this room this morning that it's okay to be foolish. It's okay to fail, as long as when you figure that out, your heart, your mind, and your attention goes back to Jesus. It's okay when you go back to Jesus. Remember what Robbie said when he was here a couple weeks. Great sermon. John 15:5, I am the vine, you are the branch. He who abides in me or is connected to me and I in him bears much fruit. When you're connected to the Father, you bear much fruit. But without me or apart from me, you can do nothing. You can produce nothing of lasting value. Listen to me. In your own effort. Nothing. Material things are going to fade away. You can't, nothing on this planet can fill you like God can fill you. So we see Peter's failure, Peter's foolishness. What time is it? Yes, last point right here. Peter's friend. It's the good part. We focused on all the junk. We can relate to the junk, amen? Amen. We can relate. And now let's look at the friend. From verses 14 through 17, even though Peter had screwed up, and he screwed up big, notice that, you know, he still hadn't gone far enough that God hadn't stopped loving him. He didn't do, you know, there's one sin, and only one sin that would cause us to not experience the love of God, and that's blasphemy of the Holy Spirit, rejection of God, rejection of Jesus. That's the one sin that bypasses our God's love for us. And excludes us from his love. Even though Peter messed up, he still had friends in high places. Isn't that cool? He messed up. He's failed. He finds himself foolish. And what does he do? He looks up. Man, isn't our God a good God? Aren't you thankful that he is rich in mercy and quick with his grace? No matter what you do, child of God, God will never stop loving. You have to understand that this morning. If you get nothing else from this message here this morning, get this. No matter what you do or you don't do, God will never, ever stop loving you. Others may turn their backs on you. Churches may even turn their backs on you. But remember this, child of God, Jesus will never do that. He can't. He is faithful in all things. Verses 4 through 7 says that Jesus found him after the sin, after the return to his old life, after a night of failure trying to fish in his own power, Jesus steps onto the scene and notice in a few minutes, everything turned from bleak to great. Now, what a difference Jesus makes. Notice in verse 5, Peter was forced to admit his failure. This is the first step in coming back home or being restored to Jesus. You have to admit where you've messed up. You've got to own it. You got to take it and you've got to admit it. And Peter does that. There must be an acknowledgement of sin on our part or our part of doing wrong in order for the grace and the power of God to come in. That's the way it comes in, by our repenting. Verse 6 says Peter started to obey Jesus again after verse 5 happened. After he admitted what he had done, he had got forgiveness, then he could do what verse 6 says and start getting on track again. He stopped doing things Peter's way again, and he starts considering to do what Jesus had told him to do from the very beginning. And in doing this, it brings back success where there had once been failure. Why do I know that? Because verse 7 says Peter has a renewed desire to be close to God again. It's like he has this revival that has taken place. In the midst of his tragedy, in the midst of his crazy experience with failure and foolishness, he meets his friend, and his friend gives him great news, and he acts on this news immediately. Immediately. Just like the prodigal son did. And if you're here this morning, and you've wandered away from God, and away from maybe even his church, there is hope for you, but you've got to make a move, and you've got to make it now. It's time to stop pushing it off. It's time to stop pretending like it's just going to get better on its own. After Jesus found Peter, and we have to understand it was Jesus who found Peter because of his love, notice what he did in the physical sense. From 9 to 14, he fed him. Fish tacos for breakfast. What better? When Peter and the other disciples reached the shore, they found what they thought was Jesus. Couldn't really figure out if it was him or not, but notice that Jesus had prepared a fire as they're trying to toil and get the fish. And Jesus was on the seashore, and he's preparing a fire, and the things they had been looking for afar off. When Jesus, they've been looking for Jesus from afar off, but notice that Jesus was always right there with them. He had never left them. They found food through their friend. They found warmth through their friend. They had regained their fellowship with their God. Their emptiness had turned into a filling. They were empty. They were hungry physically, or else they wouldn't have been fishing, right? Right? That's why they were out fishing, because they were hungry. And Jesus, when they finally deal with what they have to deal with, then they find what they need. And it's not through the fish. It's through their encounter with Jesus. It involved fish, but Jesus, what he could do with the fish was much more than what Peter could ever do with the fish. Some of us are here today and we're empty and we're crying out to God. We're trying to figure things out. We can't figure it out. And we're running on fumes, amen? I don't know about you, but I get that way sometimes. And the good news is, if we can just admit that honestly to ourselves and give that to God, God can move the same way he always has and the same way he always will. I've been there. I've gotten there. We feel like all hope is lost, and we're so confused of what we're experiencing outwardly that we just want to throw in the towel. We want to give up. Notice what Jesus does, and we're going to stop right here with Peter in verses 15 through 17. Notice what he does. Jesus frees Peter. And in these verses, we see that Jesus literally, he recommissions, if you will, Peter back into the ministry. Peter said, Jesus is gone, ministry's done, I'm out. I'm going back to what I know. Jesus comes on the scene and says, you're foolish. You don't need to be doing what you know. You need to get back to the basics and do what I said to do and trust me. And when he did that, he was liberated. He was free, he was reconnected, and he was on purpose only because of Jesus. Friend, whatever you're experiencing here this morning, I don't want you to ever forget that God loves you. He's got a purpose for you. He's got a plan for you. Even in your pain, God is working on your behalf. He's working things for your good. You might not be able to tell right now, but you have to trust that God knows what he's doing. Father God, I pray this morning as we wind down this service, as we close the bread of life that you have fed us and nourished us through the pages of your word, that your spirit has prompted change that needs to take place in our life, and that we're going to be receptive to that spirit here this morning. We're going to allow you to change and mold us into the thing that you've created us to be, and we're going to stop getting in the way. And we're going to acknowledge when we do get in the way, and when we get in the way, we're going to step back.
We're going to focus on you, and we're going to trust you to do what only you can do through us because of your grace, power, and might. We word this prayer in Jesus' name.